reporter. Again, we bring you the police reporter telling you another true story of a crime. While this is no sensational murder case, it presents some features which make it a most interesting one.
Ohio State Penitentiary in Columbus. The time about 20 years ago. We find two men talking, Daniel Bonzo, parole and record clerk, and Jack Red Downing, a convict.
You're doing a nice job, Red.
Thank you, Mr. Bonzo. I'll have it all ready in a couple of hours.
You're a good carpenter. When I get your parole, you won't have any trouble getting a job.
Well, I've been here almost 7 years, Mr. Bonzo. I'll be lost when I get out.
Oh,
I don't know what it's like outside anymore.
Don't worry about that. You can come to my house for a few months until you get your bearings. I have enough work there to keep you busy for a while. In the meantime, you can look around and see what's going on.
That's swell of you, Mr. Bonzo. But what'll your wife say about you bringing an old con into your house? Maybe she won't feel about it like you do.
She feels the same way about you as I do, Red. She wants you to have another chance. A real chance.
I'm awful grateful, Mr. Bonzo. And I mean that.
I know you do, Red. So forget about it and finish your job.
What do you think of it?
Why, I think it's one of the best pieces of workmanship I've ever seen. Strong, solid, and serviceable.
I did the best I could.
You can be proud of it, Red.
You think the warden will like it?
He'll be tickled to death. Besides, it's getting him out of a hole. The state legislature changes the law about capital punishment, but doesn't vote any money to buy an electric chair. So it's up to him to furnish one.
Well, I've built him an electric chair, and it's a good one, if I do say so myself.
Well, Red, let me be the first to congratulate you. You'll go down in the books as the first man to build an electric chair in the state of Ohio.
You mean it'll be in the state history?
Sure, pictures and everything. What do you think of that?
That's swell. It'll help me with the parole board, too, won't it?
It's already down on your recommendation.
Do you think it'll go through?
Now, listen, Red, don't you worry about that parole. It's a cinch. In 6 weeks, you'll be out of here and as free as the air.
Free, gee. Won't that be swell? To be able to do what you want and go where you want whenever you want to? Oh, I can never thank you enough, Mr. Bonzo. And I'm going to prove it to you when I get out of here. You see if I don't.
In 6 weeks, Red Downing was as free as the air. Daniel Bonzo kept him at his home for over 3 months. After that, the ex-convict established himself as a carpenter and was getting along nicely. Almost a year has passed since Red was given his parole. The scene is the Bonzo home.
Oh, hello, Red. Come in.
Thank you, Mrs. Bonzo. I was just going by, so I thought I'd drop in for a minute.
Oh, I'm glad you did. Come on in and sit down. What have you been doing? We haven't seen much of you lately.
Oh, I've been getting along all right. Been working steady lately.
Had your lunch?
No, I just finished a job and I was on my way downtown to get some.
Let me fix you something.
Oh, don't go to any trouble, Mrs. Bonzo.
It's no trouble, Red. How would some cold-baked ham and rye bread strike you?
They just about hit the spot.
It's a little chilly in this living room. I should put some coal in the furnace.
I'll do it for you.
This is my rent day, and I've been expecting the landlord. I can't hear the doorbell from the furnace room.
You stay right here, and I'll fix your furnace.
Say, we've got some good beer in the basement. I'll go down and get you a bottle for your lunch.
That ought to hit the spot, too.
And if that landlord comes, he can just wait until we get back.
Seems like I'm putting you to a lot of trouble, Mrs. Bonzo.
Oh, it's worth a bottle of beer and a little lunch to get my furnace fixed.
Let's go, then.
Wait until I get my purse. I don't like to leave it laying around. It's got the rent money in it.
Okay.
You know where the furnace is, don't you, Ben?
Sure. I shoveled enough coal into it while I was living here.
Late that afternoon, Daniel Bonzo received a telephone call. It was from Detective Chief Scully of the Columbus City Police. He asked Bonzo to come home at once, as his wife had been found murdered. Daniel Bonzo left the penitentiary and rushed home.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bonzo. Awfully sorry.
Oh, where's my wife?
The coroner has just taken her to the morgue.
How did it happen? Do you know who did it?
Well, we've got a couple of clues.
Well, what are they?
We found a business card on the cellar stairs. John Downing, carpenter and builder, 637 Chicago Street. Do you know him?
He lived with us for over 3 months.
What do you think about him?
Oh, Red wouldn't do a thing like this. He's all right.
He's an ex-con, ain't he?
Yes, but he's my friend.
Well, he's the only clue we've got, so I sent my boys out to pick him up. If he's home, they'll have him here any time now.
But why should anyone want to kill my wife?
I've got a hunch it was robbery.
Robbery? Why, there wasn't anything in the house worth taking.
Your landlord was here a little while ago to collect the rent. I turned the house upside down, but there's no rent money.
She always hid her money in a sugar bowl in the kitchen, or carried it around in her purse.
And the landlord told us about the sugar bowl, and we found her purse, but they're both empty.
Well, any other signs of a robbery?
Your son says your revolver's gone. Did he know where you kept your gun?
Sure, everyone in the house knew it.
Now, how about Red Downing? Did he know where you kept it?
Yes, but Chief, you're all wrong about Red Downing. He wouldn't do a thing like this.
Yeah, maybe not, but he's my only cue, and I want to talk to him. That's probably my boys now. Come on in.
Here's Red Downing, Chief.
What's the matter, Chief?
I hope everything's okay as far as you're concerned, Red.
The cops wouldn't tell me a thing.
What you been doing all day, Red?
Working.
Got any money on you?
Sure, some.
Let me see it.
Well, here's $6.
Hey, frisk him.
Yes, sir.
You ain't got no right to do that.
Hey, you want me to take you down to the station and do it?
Red's right. You have no right to search him.
Hey, listen, Mr. Bonzo. Would you mind keeping out of this?
All right. But I'm warning you, Scully. I won't stand for Red being mistreated.
Red hasn't got a thing to be afraid of, if he's innocent.
What's it all about, Chief?
Mrs. Bonzo's been murdered, and we thought you might know something about it.
Me, Chief?
Yeah. You were here this afternoon.
How do you know?
Oh, we got ways of finding out. Come on now, reach for the ceiling. I'm going to search you.
I won't stand for it.
Hey, don't be a sap, Red. All the holler in the world ain't going to stop us, and you know it.
Go ahead, then, and see what you find.
Well, what do you know about that? A gun. You know what the law says about paroled convicts carrying guns, don't you, Red?
Yes.
Well, where'd you get it?
Mrs. Bonzo loaned it to me.
What for?
I work with a lot of tough guys. I wanted to scare them, so they'd let me alone.
All right, we'll let that pass for now. Don't seem to be anything else on you. Take your shoes off.
Do I have to?
You know what's good for you. Come on, move.
Can I sit down?
Sure. Hey, what's that stain on your shoe?
Just a little grease.
Yeah, looks like blood to me. You got some on your sock, too. Say, how'd it get there?
I cut my hand working.
Let's see your hand.
Why, there.
You heal fast, don't you, Red? That cut's been on there for at least a week, and the blood on your sock fresh. You want to change your story?
No.
Nothing in this sock or shoe. Come on, get the other one off.
What's the good of all this, Scully? While you're bullying Red, the murderer's probably getting away.
Mr. Bonzo's right.
Hey, let me be the judge of that. Come on, take off the shoe. Hey, what's making that bulge?
A broken bone that didn't heal right.
Take it off, let's see. So you only had $6 on you, huh? Hey, where'd you get this other $55?
Saved it.
Just a peculiar coincidence, ain't it, that you should have the same amount of money that was stolen from Mrs. Bonzo?
Well, it could happen.
Sure it could, but it ain't natural. The only man the neighbor saw come here was a big red-headed man. And the same big red-headed man has blood on his shoe and sock. He hides $55, the amount stolen on his person, and he also carries a gun which he says the disease loaned him. You know, all those things could happen once in 100,000 years.
Tell him you didn't do it, Red.
Come on, tell me you didn't do it if you can.
Why don't you deny it, Red?
I can't.
What?
Come on, spill it. Why'd you kill her?
Oh, I don't know. Honest, I don't. She told me she had that $50... on her. And when she went into the basement, I slipped this gun in my pocket and followed her. She was going to get me a bottle of beer, and I was going to fix the furnace. While she was bending over to pick up something, I pointed the gun and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened.
and I saw the gun was empty.
Well, go on.
Just then, she looked around and saw me. She started hollering, and I got scared. So I grabbed the steering post of an old car that was laying on the floor and hit her with it. And I kept hitting her till she shut up. Then I took the rent money I knew she had in her pocket and beat it.
Well, Red, I guess that's about all we need. You'll go to the chair for this.
Oh, I don't care. I'm better off dead. I ain't no good. Killing's too good for a guy like me. A guy that'll kill one of his best friends for 55 bucks. I'll be glad when it's all over. I'll be glad when the day comes when I sit in that chair.
In spite of all this talk, Red Downing put up a tough fight. He was convicted, however, and sentenced to be electrocuted. It is 6 o'clock in the morning of the day of his execution, and we find him and his spiritual advisor on their way to the chair.
Forgive us our trespasses.
Forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And deliver us from all evil.
And deliver us from all evil.
For thine is the power.
For thine is the power.
And the glory.
And the glory.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Sit in the chair, my son.
You can't tell me anything about that chair. I built it. Can you imagine that? You have to strap the legs so tight.
I'm just trying to make it easy for you, fella.
Have you anything to say, any message to leave, my son?
Only this. I built this chair the last time I was here. Now they're electrocuting me in it. They're electrocuting me in my own chair.
And through the irony of fate, Red Downing died in the electric chair he himself had built.
You have just heard the 13th story brought to you by the police reporter, who has hundreds more in store for you, all of which are as interesting as those you have already heard. Perhaps if you would write him in care of the station to which you are listening, and tell him of some case in which you are particularly interested, we might persuade him to dramatize for you some of the intimate happenings of the case with which you are unfamiliar. Included in the cast presenting this series to you are Noreen Gamill, C. Whitney Shealy, Hugh Lester, Sid Bracey, and Jack Lewis. This is a Radio Release production.